This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
This is Tim Russ, Lieutenant Commander Tuvok on Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, is...
Suzanne Williamson.
Well, today we're going to be revisiting our desert island picks. And if you remember, that's where we pick our three episodes from a particular season of Voyager that we would take with us to a desert island, forsaking all other episodes for all time. This week we're going to do season six.
This is so difficult.
This is difficult because season six is a really strong season of Voyager. There are so many good episodes in this season.
It is. I was like, I have at least six episodes and just to pick three. It was painful.
We had to make some hard, hard choices. But before we started recording, you were kind of ribbing me for thinking season six was stronger than season four. And now I submit to you that season six is a stronger season overall than season four.
It is just as strong as season
four. Okay,
I
might concede to that.
Because I had just as difficult a time with season four as I did season six.
I had to make some hard, hard choices to put my list together here.
Yes.
I think our lists are going to be really different. That's what I think. I think... out of season six, given the diversity of episodes and given how different you and I are from each other, I think our lists are going to be night and day different.
All I have to say is that if Michael Sullivan shows up on your list, I'm punching you dead in the face.
I will neither confirm nor deny whether Michael Sullivan is on my list.
It's because you don't want to get punched dead in the face.
I'm cowering in the corner already.
Okay, Zach, so you have your hut set back up. I have popcorn. What's your first episode?
Very first on my list is Blink of an Eye.
Okay, I'll come over with popcorn for that one.
Oh, good. I'm glad. There's so much that I love about Blink of an Eye. I love seeing the development of this alien culture and this weird planet over time. I love the fact that Voyager has become the cornerstone of their culture and their theology and their belief system. It imbues Voyager with so much meaning for this world. And I think the Voyager crew is surprised how much Voyager means to these people.
I was just happy that they got a really great guest star for this episode in Daniel Dae Kim. The man is awesome.
I have to admit that I didn't even know who the actor was.
Shame on you.
I didn't know he was a big deal.
Shame, 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 shame on you.
What was he in?
Lost.
See, I didn't watch Lost, so I didn't know that.
You have not seen any good TV show or any good movie for like 20 years.
You make me sound so old. I'm only 40, Suzanne. Don't bury me before I'm dead. Don't throw me in a torpedo tube yet.
Oh my gosh, you're so old. You're 40.
If there's anything I learned from Voyager, it's that when you're halfway through the journey, there's still a lot of open space left. 40's not what it used to be.
So 40 is the new 30, is what you're saying?
40 is the new 30, exactly. Thank you, Voyager.
Now, I know the Doctor had a son in this episode. Did we ever find out the son's name?
Yes, we did. The son's name was Jason, if memory serves.
Oh, yeah. Why did I forget that? That's so commonplace. I should have remembered.
How did I remember that and you didn't?
I have no idea.
Where did this son come from? Was this the woman's son from a previous relationship? And then the doctor showed up and was like a stepdad?
I know. Did the doctor adopt him or?
It must have been something like that.
Yeah, because he can't give any genetic material to make an offspring.
Presumably has holographic genetic material.
Well, we don't know. Do these people have holograms? Perhaps his wife was a hologram.
Maybe. I didn't think about it either. Maybe it was a holographic son.
He's had holographic children before. Why not again?
Okay, this is an important question about holograms. I had assumed that the doctor has all of the things that make up a normal human, but holographic versions of them. So does he have a holographic skeleton? Does he have a holographic circulatory system? Does he have holographic genetic material?
Well, he does tell Andy Dick in that one episode that he has made adjustments to his program.
Okay, so this is a thought experiment. I want you to think about this with me. So if the doctor has holographic genetic material, and the doctor has holographic augments to his program, and we know that holograms interact with normal matter in much the same way that real matter does, right? The doctor can pick up objects and he can slap people, and right, the doctor can interact with the world. So at the micro level, if you have holographic DNA, can your holographic DNA combine with real DNA and produce something like an actual offspring?
I would think you would need nanoprobes for that.
What do the nanoprobes do?
They would actually latch on to things because I don't think the holographic genetic material would mesh with organic genetic material.
But the doctor can like pick up a coffee cup.
He can pick it up, but it doesn't become one. Like the egg and the sperm. The sperm infiltrates the egg, they become one, and then they start splitting.
I'm thinking at the micro level, like the molecular level. So if you have some holographic DNA on the one hand, and you've got some normal DNA on the other hand, and these two strands of DNA combine, just like happens normally during reproduction, wouldn't the end result just be like half the strand of DNA is holographic and the other half is real, but it's still, they still interact, just like holograms interact with normal matter all the time.
Okay, so you're saying that his son was created possibly in a lab instead of the natural way?
Yes, and lives in a holodeck.
I was going the natural way, and I'm like, that's not going
to
work.
Can you? This would be the most horrific way to die ever if you were conceived by, if one of your parents was a hologram on the holodeck, and then half your DNA is holographic, and you leave the holodeck, and half your DNA disappears in your entire body. That is like the worst way to die ever.
That would be instantaneous, though, so it wouldn't be that bad.
So I hadn't considered this possibility that maybe the doctor has an actual son that is half holographic.
Maybe they figured out how to make another holo emitter and he walks around with that as like on his shoe yes. or something. Yeah, I have no idea how he had a son.
I presumed it was a stepson, stepdad kind of thing.
We're going to go with that. He adopted an already formed child.
But now I think holographic DNA is a thing, so.
I still say you need nanoprobes.
So yeah, Blink of an Eye. I could rewatch Blink of an Eye again and again. I never get tired of it. So excellent candidate for a desert island.
I could watch it every now and again, but it did not make my list.
Even with what's his name from Lost?
Even with Daniel Day Kim. Yes, even with him.
Whose name I can't remember for some reason.
I don't see why. It's not a difficult name.
I always want to say Daniel Day Lewis. No, that's not it.
That is a different man. Completely different man. Right, okay. But equally as talented.
I'm glad to know you'll come over and watch Blink of an Eye with me and bring the popcorn, Suzanne.
I'm always good to bring popcorn, as long as you have wine or beer, maybe some tequila.
I pretty much always have wine, so you hang out with me, you get wine.
Okay. I'll keep the beer, tequila, and moonshine in my hut.
So, Suzanne, if you're going to come over and watch Blink of an Eye in my hut, I am dying to know what I will come over to your hut to watch.
Well, if you're going to come over, the first episode is going to be Tinker Tenor, Dr. Spy.
Oh, it was so hard not to put that on my list, but, you know, I've watched that so many times, and as funny as it is, I can't rewatch it now like I used to like 10 years ago.
But you love the emergency command hologram. You love his pips that just pop out of his neck.
It would be hard to, yeah, it's hard to give up the pips. Years ago, this would have been first on my list. It was one of the highlights of the season for me, and I said this half-jokingly, but the comedy routine falls a little bit flat for me now after seeing it so much.
It doesn't fall flat for me, and I actually enjoy more that the doctor is daydreaming and doing something that we all do. So he's expanded his programming even more and one step closer to becoming just like the rest of us.
The opening scene with Tuvok is brilliant.
That is hilarious.
I'm glad it's on your list because it's not on my list, so I can at least come watch it once in a while at your head.
That one makes me giggle so hard.
I actually don't find the hierarchy aliens that interesting. So that's part of the reason this episode is not on my list. I don't actually find the plot very interesting. Even though I love the scenes and I love the comedy and I love the Doctor's daydreams are amazing. But it's not on my list.
I actually enjoyed the hierarchy aliens. One of them was an actor that I've watched in different shows, Googie Gress. He was in one of my favorite shows from like the millennium, which was G versus E or Good versus Evil. So I was really excited to see him again.
Oh, I didn't see it. No. You know, they remind me of smart pack leads.
Smart pack leads. Okay. I think they're smarter than pack leads. Much, much smarter.
Yeah, just a little bit. They're Packled-esque. One thing I do love about the hierarchy, I love the little graphic that shows up on their little screen when the hierarchy is doing its thinking.
Yes.
The little do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I love that. I don't know why. For some reason, that cracks me up every time. The hierarchy approves. Oh, good. While we're talking about Tinker, Tenor, Doctor, Spy, I think my absolute favorite part of that episode is when the Doctor says to activate the photonic cannon. Everyone on the bridge looks at him like, what's a photonic cannon?
That is.
He says it with such passion. Activate the photonic cannon.
Well, he had to be believable or else the hierarchy wasn't going to buy it.
Now, Tuvok.
Tuvok's like, okay, sure.
Activating I love that Tuvok plays along. Activating the photonic cannon.
Well, he raises an eyebrow. So the Doctor sketching 7 of 9 in that compromising position that's reminiscent of the Titanic. That's another reason I love this. I love it.
The Doctor puts my daydreaming life to shame. He's got a pretty good daydreaming life.
If I had the time, I could daydream like that, but I don't have the time.
You don't want to draw me, Suzanne?
No.
I was hoping for a nice self-portrait, man.
Nope. Did I say no? Because I really mean no.
Oh, you can't have that vivid of a dreaming life then.
That's more of a nightmare.
Touche.
So yes, Tinker, Tenor, Doctor, Spy will be available in my hut for viewing.
I'm glad because it didn't make my list, so I'm really glad.
So what else did make your list?
I have to go with Pathfinder. I love Pathfinder.
Really?
I love seeing Barclay. I love seeing Troy. I love Voyager making contact with the Alpha Quadrant. Yes, I love it. I love the cat named Neelix.
But he's the wrong color. He should be orange.
Yes, the cat should be orange. I guess, in all fairness, Barclay didn't know what color Neelix was, right?
I know, but still.
Wait, is Neelix part of his recreation of Voyager on the holodeck?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think he is.
But it's because no one knows what Neelix looks like. They just know the name, probably, from the log records and stuff.
Yeah, because he still has all the Maquis in their leather outfits, including Chakotay.
So they haven't got a visual record of anything on Voyager.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you lost me at Chakotay and his Maquis outfit.
I love that Barclay says he's lost himself in Voyager because I have been there, man.
Haven't we all, Reg? Haven't we all?
It hits a little close to home.
It does.
I'm a little bit like Barclay in some ways. I have just a little bit of paranoia to me.
Awkward?
No, a little paranoid. No, I don't think I'm awkward. No. Okay, maybe a little bit.
Well, you said you're like Barclay. Awkward.
Give me a glass of wine and I'm fine.
Okay.
Synthahol. Excuse me. Synthahol. Really, you don't like Pathfinder that much, huh? I was not sure if Pathfinder would be on your list or not.
It's an okay episode. It's not something that I'm going to forsake all other episodes for.
What's interesting about doing this now, as opposed to a few years ago, I think my list has changed. I would have put Tinker, Tenor, Doctor, Spy on my list a few years ago, and I would not have put Pathfinder on it. But I find that the episodes that I go back to and rewatch now are different than the ones I used to rewatch a few years ago, and I find myself going back to Pathfinder again and again for some reason I can't quite explain.
It's because you're old, and your views have changed.
Because I'm old?
And your views have changed, yes.
Are we back to the 40 is the new 30 thing?
Oh, we're just back to you being 40, that's all.
I was born old, Suzanne. I'm an old soul. With a youthful zest for life, but an old soul nonetheless.
Yeah, my viewing styles have not changed. I still go back to the same episodes.
Really? See, mine have evolved drastically about this season in particular.
Yeah, mine are tried and true. I'm going down with these.
I'm glad we're at least picking episodes the other person likes so we can keep going to each other's huts and watching the episodes.
Well, that is good, yes. Yeah, because, I mean, Deanna Troi gets to be more of a counselor in this episode than she ever really was in Next Gen.
No, in a way, Barclay is similar to the Doctor in Tinker, Tailor, Doctor, Spy. Barclay is essentially living out his daydream life on Voyager, just like the Doctor is in Tinker, Tailor, Doctor, Spy.
Yeah, but daydream Barclay, he's too suave. He's too smooth. I just don't buy it. It's like, Reg, you are not that cool. I'm sorry, you're not that cool.
I don't think I could pretend to be that smooth. He seems to turn on pretend smooth pretty easily. I don't think I could even do that.
He does. His voice even changes. It's almost like when I take a call from a customer and I get my phone voice, which is completely different than my regular speaking voice.
Listeners don't know this until now, and you know this, Suzanne, but for my work, I often have to do phone system voice recordings because I'm the guy with the microphone. So if they need a voice for a phone system, I'm the guy they go to. So I'm the voice of like 6 different universities' customer support phone systems. That's a different voice than podcast voice.
It is a much different voice. Yeah, my phone voice is, nothing like me.
Press 1 to reach whatever, you know, right, that kind of thing. This podcast may be monitored for quality assurance.
We would have been fired a long time ago.
Too late.
So if I had more than 3 episodes to bring with me, if I had more than 6 episodes to bring with me, then Pathfinder would have been in there. But I can only bring 3. So yeah, no.
Well, we're going to talk about our honorable mentions at the end. And I had my original list was 6 episodes long, and I had to make some hard choices, and I ended up settling on Pathfinder, and I sacrificed a couple of episodes that could just as easily have been on my short list of 3. Mm-hmm. But I circled Pathfinder the last minute, right there, end of the one. And Tinker, Tailor, Doctor, Spy was on my short list. I should say that, too, while we were already talking about Tinker, Tailor, Doctor, Spy. That was on my list, and I didn't circle it.
I feel better that it was on your short list. Well, the next one that I'm packing away to save in my hut has to deal with photonic fleas. And I'm talking about the Voyager conspiracy.
That's an interesting choice because I don't actually like the episode all that much. But I like the idea of the episode that no matter what crazy conspiracy theory you have, you can find evidence that supports it. You can deny all the evidence against it. You can take evidence and twist it around. So kind of, you know, this is like my Metatrex hat, but from a Metatrex standpoint, I love that episode so much. I don't enjoy watching the episode, though. It would not even close to my list. Other end of the spectrum.
I love it from a Janeway Chakotay perspective.
Yeah.
I love that because they start off and they're having dinner and everything's fine. And then Seven comes up with this weird theories, different for each of them. And then they start giving each other the side eye and they're carrying phasers. And at first, Janeway's like, did Chakotay put you up to this? All laughing. It's like how easily their friendship could be put in a precarious position by someone with weird information.
Isn't life really like that, though? We all take this set of experience we've got, you know, the facts that we think we understand, you know, whatever's going on around us. And we take all that and we kind of synthesize it together into something our minds can understand that may or may not be reflective of how reality really is. We all have this own little, like, carefully constructed worldview based on, you know, what we wish the world was like combined with what the facts really are. And our minds are so active in creating this world that we live in. I think we all do that more than we realize. You know, we're taking the facts and we're interpreting them. We're creating our own little worldview. And sometimes, you know, the worldview you've got and the worldview someone else has don't match up and you end up like Janeway and Chakotay carrying sidearms, right?
Our phaser standard equipment on board now?
That's a great line, yes. Apparently so.
The absolute best line from this episode is, you didn't poison the coffee, did you? And Janeway's like, no more than I usually do. I love that.
You really like this episode, don't you? I can tell you're like,
I do.
I can see it on your face right now. You're smiling when you're talking about this episode.
It's so much fun. I mean, you get to see them together and then sort of like looking at each other like, gosh, has this person been lying to me for years? And then they're like, wait a minute. Nah, Seven's just crazy. That's all.
Seven be crazy.
Seven be crazy. It's those damn photonic fleas.
Borgs be crazy.
This episode is all conspiracy theories and absolute tinfoil hat craziness. I love it.
Okay, I'm going to have to rewatch this episode with your enthusiasm in mind.
If nothing else, just watch it for the little Janeway Chakotay moments. Because there's quite a few of them in here. And it makes me happy.
It's interesting how fast things can change. Right? Janeway and Chakotay, they've developed this relationship for years. One little piece of conspiracy theory evidence, and they're ready to carry phasers with each other. Life is like that. Life can turn on a dime.
Well, yeah, because you don't expect Seven of Nine to be talking all craziness at you.
You don't. Seven of Nine is usually pretty rational.
Yeah, so that's what it makes it easy to believe that they started questioning each other and their motives. Because Seven has never been full-on tinfoil hat crazy before, but she is in this episode.
Of all the people to be prone to a conspiracy theory, I wouldn't have pegged Seven of Nine as being prone to conspiracy-type thinking.
No, I would have said Neelix. Neelix would have been the one.
Can you imagine a rewrite of this episode? Maybe we're going to do it on the fly here. A rewrite of this episode with Neelix as the protagonist.
Well, no, because they wouldn't have believed him for 1 second. They'd have been like, oh,
Neelix. No one believes Neelix?
Too much Leo LaRoot.
That's cute, Neelix. So no, I wouldn't put this episode on my list.
Not even an honorable mention?
No, it didn't make my honorable mention list either. Yeah. I mean, I could add it, sure. Sure, I could add anything, right? Sure, put it on the list. I'll come over and watch it. No, it didn't make my list. That's not how honorable mentions work. Honorable mentions are not ones that are coming to the island. They did not make the cut.
And you call yourself a shipper. Shame on you.
It is interesting that I went with Blink of an Eye and Pathfinder and an unknown third episode that I've yet to mention.
Which I'm guessing is not a shipper episode either.
It depends how you look at it.
You are getting punched dead in the face. I feel it.
We're going to arm wrestle for it.
My fist is just twitching right now.
You want to play a game of rings over it?
It's got your name written on it. Your name's on my fist. It's happening. Go ahead. Tell me your third episode. Come on.
Delete the co-host.
Oh, dude. Seriously?
Yeah, I went with Fairhaven. I love Fairhaven. Oh, I didn't used God. To. But it, no, this is a perfect example of how an episode that I didn't used to care for has totally grown on me. I have been bitten by the Fairhaven bug. I would take Fairhaven. I would. I know.
Hello, listeners. This is Suzanne. I'm currently looking for a new co-host of To the Journey because Zachary mysteriously vanished. So if you'd like this position, contact me. Thanks.
Wow.
Dude, seriously, Fairhaven.
Can't you at least try to reprogram me before you delete me?
No, you're gone.
A little more to your specifications, you know?
Fairhaven. I can't even talk to you. I can't talk to you. I'm sending you to a different island. You're not allowed on this island anymore.
Do you hate Fairhaven that much?
Dude, you see the look on my face right now, right?
I do. This is the opposite of the look you had about the last episode on your list.
Yeah. No, Fairhaven is not cool. Not cool at all.
Why? All because of Michael Sullivan? It's just a Chakotay red herring? I like the fact that Captain Janeway feels lonely on Voyager, and she's going to figure out what to do about it in the holodeck.
So she's going to hang out in Irish Candyland? I don't think so.
Yes. I think Captain Janeway's in a hard position. Everyone else on Voyager can pair up with someone and have a relationship, and Janeway doesn't feel like she has that luxury. And it's interesting
she
to see her
does.
Kind of mental... No, it's interesting to see her kind of mental gymnastics about what she's going to do about that. And she doesn't think she can get with Chakotay. She doesn't think she can be with anyone else on the crew. She's not going to pick up some random alien and who's going to come along for the ride and hook up with that person. So she's got to figure out what to do. She did try that.
She does have that option.
She doesn't realize she has that option.
Because the doctor gives her bad advice in this episode. Because he's championing the hologram. No!
The doctor is team hologram, you're right.
He's
team Michael Sullivan.
Shame on you, doctor.
I think it's interesting that Janeway has some very oddly specific facial hair requirements.
And he has to beat Chakotay's height. Why is that?
Wait, is that what happens? Does she make him Chakotay's height? No.
Yeah.
Are you making this up?
I am not making this up.
How do you know how tall Chakotay is compared to Michael Sullivan?
Look at them standing next to each other.
Okay, I'll have to rewatch it from this standpoint. I know listeners are going to not like this. you're not going to like this. I think Janeway and Michael Sullivan are not a bad match.
You are an evil, evil man, and I don't like you.
I think he makes her smile as much as Chakotay does.
No, he doesn't.
No? What episode did you watch?
No. She had to change everything about him and make him more Chakotay-like to enjoy him.
Okay, that is a little creepy. You're right.
Yeah.
BYOB, build your own boyfriend.
No, it's BYOC, build your own Chakotay. Which Seven does later.
This is a great example of how life imitates art, right? We're living in the 21st century. You know, if there's a type of person you like, a type of person you want to meet, mm-hmm. you know, we have social media, we got dating websites. You can find that one person you're looking for, right? That wasn't always true. I don't think it was even true in the 90s, you know, when this episode came out. Like, you know, the idea that you can kind of construct your ideal companion, you can kind of do that in a metaphorical sense now.
Well, it doesn't even have to be metaphorical. They have those dolls now.
I was not thinking about dolls, but sure.
No, but like the interactive ones.
Are you ordering your own Chakotay doll? Is that what you're doing? Getting on Amazon?
Don't you think I already have that? Dude, come on.
Yeah, I know it's in your closet.
You know me.
Yeah.
No, he's on the couch. I don't put him in the closet. I'm sorry, Zach. No matter what you say, I'm not coming over to watch this. Ever.
Really?
Actually, that bad, might burn your tape and blame it on tape? Some random monkey that's also on the island.
I love that you think I'm still watching Voyager on VHS and I have a tape, but...
No, if we're going on a desert island, that's what we're bringing is VHS.
I hadn't realized. I had assumed we were bringing DVDs at least, but...
Dude, it's a desert island. It is totally VHS.
I think more than any other episode, this episode shows how lonely Captain Janeway really feels. Am I right about that? I don't know. I think so.
I said I'm not talking about Fairhaven. You're not going to make me talk about it.
Are you going to just give me the silent treatment for the rest of the episode?
Yes. No, just as long as you're talking about that which shall not be mentioned.
Well, we should probably move on then so we can finish the show. Otherwise, I'm just going to talk about Fairhaven the rest of the episode. I did not used to like Fairhaven a couple of years ago. In fact, literally, when I first started listening to The Journey, when I was just a listener before we were on To The Journey together, listening to Char and Tristan.
Do not go blaming Char and Tristan for this.
No. I'm just saying, back when I first started, I'm just saying, explaining how much my views have changed. When I first started listening to The Journey a few years ago, I would have been in the anti-Fairhaven camp, and I've done a complete 180 degrees. And I'm getting the silent treatment from Suzanne.
It's because you're old.
What?
I don't know. That's the only thing I can come up with. Why would you do a 180 on something that's insane?
Because I think as you get new experiences, as you go through different struggles, as your hopes and dreams change, so do the episodes you enjoy.
Now, I've been through all of those and my episodes didn't change.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that your list has remained consistent over your Voyager lifespan.
It has.
I think I just like the existential journey Captain Janeway is on. You know, she has to think about, you know, what her station in life is, what she thinks the sphere of possibilities for her life is, who she's compatible with and who she's not, what
permission she's going to give herself to.
Yeah, but she has to go through the kind of mental and emotional gymnastics of whether that's a real possibility or not. And you get to see it played out inside Fairhaven a little bit.
Blech.
I would actually like to see a rewrite of this. I would like to see a mashup of Fairhaven with Anne of Green Gables, where rather than going to some Irish town, they go to Prince Edward Island.
Huh?
Oh, that's right. You're not an Anne of Green Gables person. I totally am. I'm an Anne fan.
No, I'm not. Yeah, you do this Anne of Green Gables thing, yet you've never seen Jaws. Alien, Predator.
I grew up watching Anne of Green Gables, and to this day, it's one of my favorite things. And I could actually see this episode be taking place in Avonlea rather than Fairhaven. In fact, it's very similar. If you go back and watch Anne of Green Gables, a lot of the kind of townsfolk stuff you get in Fairhaven, you should, because it's very similar.
No, I'm not going to.
I have never thought about this
before. If it's similar to Fairhaven, then nope.
This is the light bulb going on. What I love about this episode is partly the kind of folksiness that you get in that kind of small town island living Anna Green Gables, Avonlea, Prince Edward Island thing. Yeah. It's like the scales have fallen from my eyes, and I see why I like Fairhaven now.
I live in a small town. I don't like Fairhaven.
Okay, I'm never going to convince you that Fairhaven is amazing. I can see this, but
no,
I relate to Captain Janeway, and I like seeing her emotional journey in this episode, and I think she and Michael Sullivan heretically make a good match.
Ugh, puke.
I know, I have lost you forever.
Yeah, we're not speaking again.
Well, what's your third pick if it's not Fairhaven?
My third pick was a little difficult to whittle down. Because it was between two that I really, really, really love. But I had to go with Survival Instinct, which is where we meet the Borg that Seven made into a mini collective.
That's the episode I can never remember the details about. I skip over that one almost every time. I skip over your episode, Suzanne.
Do not skip over this episode. It is a wonderful episode. Because they're wanting to terminate the collective that she forced them into. Just like she was freed from the collective, they want that, even though it's going to mean that they die within a short amount of time.
It is an interesting choice. Like, would a little bit of freedom be worth your overall life? Is any amount of freedom worth it?
I really wish the doctor would have come up with some harebrained way to save at least one of them. I would have liked Marika, who was a Starfleet officer.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
to have stayed.
I see where you're going with this. That would have been neat. A de-Borgified Starfleet officer would have been great. I could be on board with that. I could be on board with her staying on board. No, I tend to skip over that episode. And this is where I'm not being fair to Voyager. I have developed this bad habit of skipping over certain episodes that I really should rewatch and get to love.
Yeah, you should definitely rewatch this one. It's a good episode.
I haven't rewatched that in literally years, probably. Even though we do To the Journey, I have not watched that in years.
It's one of my favorites.
I'll come over and watch it if you bring the popcorn.
I always have the popcorn. And if it's my tent or my hut, we have tequila, beer, moonshine. I got it all.
Come over for the moonshine.
If you want wine, you got to bring that.
Wait, you have everything but wine? You don't have wine?
I have beer, tequila, and moonshine. Do I need wine?
I'm more team wine. I guess we're on to honorable mentions.
Yes.
Well, one of mine was Tinker Tenor Dr. Spy. So got that off the list. And we get to watch that, thankfully, because it's on your list. The next on my honorable mentions list is Dragon's Teeth, which I know you hate. I love Dragon's Teeth. I almost circled Dragon's Teeth, but I went with Pathfinder, but I could have chosen Dragon's Teeth. I really could have. I love that. I know I'm in the minority. I know other people think it's boring. I think it's a great, interesting episode.
It's just awful because they introduced the species that was supposed to come back and we were supposed to see again, and we never did.
That's true, but I love seeing the resurrection of an alien culture. It's kind of like bringing ancient Romans back to life. I think it's really interesting. We get this great conversation between Janeway and the alien protagonist about what you should do when it's raining, whether you should cower, whether you should walk with dignity, or bring an umbrella.
It's the resurrection of a really evil alien species. Do you really want that?
If you remember, both versions of history are true. They did conquer. They were warlike, but they were also explorers. They also had culture.
And they were also evil.
I don't know if they were evil. Were they evil? They're not like Borg evil.
I'm sorry, did they not try and take over Voyager?
Misguided, maybe.
Did they not try and take over Voyager?
Yeah, they did. They were evil. You're right.
Yeah, they were evil.
I think there was a kind of nobility to them, though, that I liked.
You just liked them because they looked like giant snake people.
Yeah, like cobras, yeah.
They did. They looked like cobras. Thankful they didn't spit.
Where's G.I. Joe Carey to fight Cobra? I know. Every time I mention Joe Carey, you're like, oh, poor Joe.
Well, no, because now I'm really upset because Patrick Carlin had to remind me in the Babel conference that even in Before and After, Joe Carey died because of the Year of Hell.
That guy just can't get a break.
Not my Joe Carey. So we had your two honorable mentions.
I have one more, though. You want to? Let me just get my third one out of the way.
I only have two.
I brought three. My last one is Riddles.
That's my honorable mention.
Oh, well, see, there you go. Happily.
Yay, Tuvok not being Tuvok.
We have a confluence of opinions here. It's great. Riddles, yes, I love Riddles. It almost made my list as well. Of my list of six, I had six to start with, and I ended up with my three, which were Blink of an Eye, Fairhaven, and Pathfinder. My other three, Tinker, Tender, Doctor, Spy, Dragonseeth, and Riddles. Of all of those, I had a really hard time choosing between Pathfinder and Riddles and Dragonseeth. But I went with Pathfinder. I love Riddles. Yeah, it's...
I do love Riddles. It was really hard to leave this off of my list because it's such a wonderful Tuvok episode. And he communicates through cake icing. That speaks to me on so many levels. But it also gives us more of the Tuvok and Neelix friendship and building even more upon what they've already done.
It's kind of sad that they have to return to being a little more stoic with each other at the end of the episode.
It's sad, but you know Tuvok will always remember the kindness that Neelix showed him.
It's almost like a breakup of sorts. Like, they're in this, like, ersatz romance with each other as friends. And then they break up and they have to go back to being stoic. Isn't that weird?
It's not a breakup at all.
It's kind of like a breakup.
No, it's not.
They don't get
not.
To show emotion with each other anymore.
That's just who Tuvok is. He doesn't show emotions. But you know he feels emotions. They're there. He just doesn't show them.
Wait, you were always the one saying Tuvok isn't squishy on the inside and he's all Mr. Logic. And every time I think Tuvok is being sympathetic or being compassionate.
No. Nope.
We're going to have a throwdown on Tuvok right now.
No. No. I never said that Tuvok doesn't feel things. He just won't show things. And you're constantly saying, no, Tuvok is showing things. No, he doesn't. That's what I'm saying.
That's true. I do think Tuvok reveals his emotions more than you think he does.
I never said he doesn't feel things. He just doesn't show them.
So this is not a genuine disagreement, is what you're saying.
No. You're just making this up.
Okay.
So the next one on my honorable mentions is Live Fast and Prosper. Because seeing a fake Voyager crew is pretty awesome.
And Tuvok does some pretty good improv acting in Live Fast and Prosper. Just like he does in Tinker, Tender, Dr. Spy when he activates the photonic cannon. He gets to bluff and say that fake Captain Janeway is going to be sent to this prison where she's going to get several forms of psoriasis.
Not psoriasis, no!
Oh, no. And Captain Janeway's like, psoriasis? I almost busted a gut. Good job, Tuvok.
Yeah, that's just a great episode. It was really difficult to leave that off of my list, but...
It's a mid-grade episode for me. I like it. It's not my favorite. I don't hate it. It's a C-plus for me.
It's fun. It's a fun episode.
No, I'm not. And I think maybe this is the slight difference between your picks and mine. You like the really fun episodes, and I like the sort of semi-sentimental episodes.
I don't know that Survival Instinct is a fun episode.
Okay, that's a good point. But two of your three picks were fun episodes.
Two of mine. Tinker, Tenor, Dr. Spy is definitely fun. Voyager Conspiracy is a little bit fun. It's more Janeway, Chakotay, Shipper.
Okay, that's pretty sentimental.
No, that's not sentimental. That's Shipper.
But across the board, my episodes are sentimental. Blink of an Eye, I think, is sentimental. Fairhaven, I think, is sentimental. Pathfinder, I think, is sentimental. In some ways. I know. Nice sound effects, thank you. Well, it's been fun talking about watching Fairhaven alone in my own hut. But this isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM this past week. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek.fm.
Previously on Trek.fm, Literary Treks.
Not to sound, you know, too high on oneself, but I was special when we were the only ship in the Delta Quadrant, and now we're just back, and it's not as great as you think. It almost feeds into that Voyager theme of it's not the destination that matters, it's the journey, because, you know, once you get there, it's not as amazing as you think it was going to be.
This reminds me so much of the rescue of Gilligan's Island.
I love it.
Standard orbit.
Anson Mount, our new Captain Pike, was wandering around in the vendor's room, and I saw him. He passed by me within like inches and was walking around and looking at different booths and stuff. I went up to his handler and I said, I have these bookmarks. I made these bookmarks. Would it be okay if I gave him one? I don't want to bother him. I don't want to interrupt him. And she's like, yeah. And at that point, he had turned around and I got to shake his hand. I gave him a bookmark. He is incredibly nice.
Warp 5.
He seems upset that she doesn't want to go to the movie. Now let's get back to the episode here.
He's like always upset offended. When she doesn't want to go. Because he wants date night with her.
He does. And then Archer just swoops in and is like, you're my date. And she's like, what?
Yeah. You're coming with me. We're going to the movies.
God, that look on her face. She's like, no. No.
Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party podcast apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners-only group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it'll come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose message to a Trek.fm show and select to the journey. That'll come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at Trek.fm and on Facebook at facebook.com/Trek.fm. And Zachary, when you're not hanging out in your laboratory trying to mesh photonic material with organic material, where can our listeners find you on Trek.fm and on the interwebs?
You know me too well, Suzanne. Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of MetaTrek's Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy. You can always find me in the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook, if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me in there. And you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And how about you, Suzanne, when you're not making phasers standard equipment for our podcast recordings, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Those have always been standard equipment.
Well, I'm going to talk about Fairhaven, apparently.
Exactly. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is KJMY8. You can also find me popping up occasionally in the Babel Conference.
Well, if you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, we invite you to become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and many more, all available through our special patrons website, the Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these podcasts each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and we hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
We do have a few people we would like to thank. First off being C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, who also owns the only photonic cannon in existence. Executive producers Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shamatala, our Patreon manager. Also, a very special thank you to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you for your continuing support of To the Journey and Trek FM.
Well, be sure to join us next time when we will do-do-do-do-do-do-do be consulting the hierarchy. But until then, this has been To the Journey.